I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man, I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto.
Good evening, Vashon Island. I am Megan Hastings, and this is the Cats and Jammer Follies on Voice of Vashon, KVSH 101.9. I have a lovely young lady named Analeia Hinden on. She's 19 and just came back from 3 months in Europe. She and I work together, and she too loves to travel. Analeia, tell us a little bit about yourself and your travels.
Hello. Thank you for having me, first
of
all.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I was gone about 3 months in total. And we just bought a Ural pass and had some backpacks. And
you went with a girlfriend?
Yes, I went with Ruby Joyce, a longtime friend of mine. We had been friends since middle school. Yeah, I myself have like personally always had an inkling for travel. When I was a young girl, I used to pack my Polly Pocket bag and pretend it was a suitcase. And I wrote a short story to you, Megan, about this experience the first time that I traveled outside of the United States.
I remember the story.
Italy. And I would go in my parents' Honda Odyssey van and I would pretend I was going on a solo trip all by myself. And I would stay in there for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and I'd come back and I'd tell everyone about my travels and I'd tell everyone about my trip. So
where would you go?
I would go to a place called Mylaska. And it was my own country that I invented just for me to go to travel.
What was in Mylaska?
Oh, you know, the orca whales and the gravel of the driveway and my own imagination, really.
I love that story. I think that's so sweet.
So
you were gone for 3 months. And,
yes.
It's an interesting time to be traveling in Europe, not because of COVID, just because of the war in the Ukraine. And there was a time frame when you almost canceled your trip. What made you decide to, like, that you were safe enough to go? And
well, we left at the end of February, so things were just starting. It was in the first couple of weeks that everything was happening in Ukraine, and I honestly didn't feel safe going at first. I was really, really nervous.
I remember.
But I think what made me feel safer was that we were mostly going to Western Europe, and mostly the closest that we got was probably in Greece, maybe. Mm-hmm. But we weren't really anywhere near where the conflict was. And when there was...
Do you want to go to Eastern Europe at some point?
Oh, absolutely.
Because isn't your family Eastern European?
Yeah. My dad's side of the family is all Czech. And so I would love to go, like, to that part of the world. I wanted to go on this trip too, but
It just didn't work out.
It wasn't the time. But.
Well, tell us some of your stories, Analeia.
Well, I guess the story really starts in Scotland. We flew into London. We flew into Heathrow, but then we took the train up, and it's a couple hours long, so we were pretty pooped by the time we got there. And so we were like, let's just find a pub. It's Scotland, we gotta find a pub. And so we have our big backpacks on. We're like, there's a lot of stairs, which I didn't realize in Edinburgh. And so we go to the base of this big staircase, and there's this quiet little pub with these big windows and a round table in the center of the room, and it has one long hanging bulb light above it. And we're like, this place looks cool. And so we walk in. And we get a beer and we start talking with the staff, and they tell us that there's a live music show that night. So we go, and the musicians, it's a fiddle player and an accordion player, and they're just sitting there right in the center of everything, just drinking a beer and talking with the crowd. And
were people singing?
Oh, everyone was singing. They They were singing like original music partly. They were improvising for the other half.
Yeah, and did then you they know any of the music?
The only song that I knew was one of my favorite songs, Caledonia by Dougie McLean. They did a beautiful cover of it and I sang along and I was talking to them and I told them that that was one of my favorite songs and they asked me if I played music and I was like, I do. I play guitar. And the guy pulls out from under the table, the fiddle player pulls out his guitar and he goes, you play.
Oh.
And I go, I was like, at first I was, no, I could never catch up with you guys. And they go, we'll follow you. And so I.
What a nice group of people.
I know, right? That's one of my favorite parts about stumbling into a place that's larger than you. It's just getting invited in to something magical. And yeah, so
that's the key is getting that invite.
Right. No, right. Right. So I ended up singing another one of my favorite songs, Traveler by Chris Stapleton, which is a beautiful song about being on the road and not knowing where you're going or where your home is, but knowing that travel is life and that, you know, meeting new people and having those new experiences is.
It's the whole enchilada.
It's the whole enchilada. Exactly. Exactly.
How do you feel that you're 19, like this is your second trip to Europe in like a year, basically?
Yeah.
How do you feel that you've grown as a young person forming into adulthood?
Oh, wow. I feel like I've grown a lot. I feel like I've learned a lot about independence. And I also think that coming from Vashon, kids oftentimes are very sheltered on this island, especially when they spend their whole life here, like as I have.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
And, you know, pushing yourself in your own limits, like pushing your boundaries in terms of comfort, mm-hmm. specifically because we were staying in hostels and this was only a couple months ago. COVID was still real. And that was like, I was definitely nervous about that. And just being able to definitely like feel like I am seeing the world is a big feeling.
Yeah.
Feel like I am seeing the truth. Yeah. So that was one of my favorite memories from Scotland.
It's a beautiful memory.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Changes that have come over me in these last few days. I've been afraid that I might drift away. So I've been telling old stories, singing songs that make me think about where I came from. And that's the reason why I seem so far away today. Let me tell you that I love you, that I think about you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling me, and now I'm going home. For if I should become a stranger, know that it would make me more than sad. Caledonia's been everything I've ever had.
It's a beautiful song, Annalea. I don't even know it. Who's it by?
Dougie McLean. It's one of my favorite all-time songs.
Is it a new song or it's old?
No, it's old. I don't remember when it was made, but it really makes me so nostalgic, honestly.
Aww.
The song itself is about missing Caledonia. And so it's just, it makes me think about my time away and how much I miss it now that I'm back.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
So where did you go after?
Well, so after that, we went to Amsterdam, which was one of my favorite all-time cities. Woo, woo. I would say my favorite part about Amsterdam.
We're not going to talk about why.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about why. Although I do love their stance on recreation. And so I was in Amsterdam and I was walking around, and one of my favorite parts about Amsterdam is the houses and how they sort of tilt and lean.
Yeah.
And, you know, because of the fire that happened in the 1400s, I think it was, they rebuilt all the houses on the old wooden frameworks. And so it's sinking down into the ground and it just tilts and like moves in the most beautiful, like whimsical way. And so that's really, yeah, Amsterdam was a treat.
Aww, that's a nice description.
And then we headed down to Paris. Less than 24 hours in being in Paris, I actually ended up getting robbed.
Oh, Jesus.
It was such a cliche, really, when you think about it. I was outside of a club in the Bastille district area, and I was headed to another one, and I saw these larger gentlemen walking down the sidewalk, and they sort of bumped into me, and I felt them take something out of my jacket pocket. And so I turned around and I made eye contact with the guys. And the first thing that came into my head was this phrase that my dad had taught me when I was way too young to know it, which is putain de merde, which means, well, I don't know if I should say it, but putain means like a bitch. And then merde means shit. It's profanity. And so I just was screaming and yelling at this guy. I was chasing him down the street, and I was about an arm's length behind him when I realized, like, Analea, what are you going to do if you catch up to this guy?
Yeah, right.
Like, what?
How are you
going
to defend yourself?
What's my end goal? I was alone, and it was these two larger gentlemen, and I really decided that
it wasn't worth it.
It was time to let it go.
Yeah. How much did... I mean, they took everything from you.
Yeah, they took my phone, my IDs, and my cards. So that was... It was an ordeal to get back. But the woman at the phone store said that she had gotten her phone stolen 3 times that year. And that...
Jeez.
Two other people had been in that morning having gotten robbed as well. That morning.
I got robbed in Rome once.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really weird feeling. I mean, I've gotten other things robbed, like in LA or whatever, in the United States, but that was the only time that I ever got like pickpocketed. There was a group of Roma girls.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were like Albanian, and they came up and, you know, they do like a chain where there's like 6 of them in a row. One of them takes what they are taking from you and then they pass it along. So mm-hmm. that if like the
you
first
can never
person.
Know, right?
But I ended up grabbing her and I,
oh,
you know, I was
God.
Like your age, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I grabbed her and I was like, give me my money back or you're not getting her. And I was so mad because it was back before like I would have even ever had a credit card. It was like traveler's
right.
checks. So it was
right.
like
and
all
cash.
The money. Yeah, in cash. So I was like in a complete panic and I was like, no,
yeah,
this girl's going with me.
That's the good part about traveling in this day and age is that everything is online and recoverable.
Yeah.
So.
Unless they go straight to the, you know.
Straight to the cash.
Straight for whatever and use your card and spend everything.
But. They did actually end up spending about $300 worth of stuff they bought. They went to a liquor store, actually.
Oh, so they were partying.
So they were having, it was probably the best night of their week. It was that
imagine.
Night. And my worst, but. That's how life is.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine being so far away. And I mean, I can imagine because I have been there. But
you've been there, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really daunting feeling.
It is. But luckily, I had Ruby with me at that time in the trip. And so that was definitely helpful to have her there.
Yeah. Un, deux, trois, quatre. Dans les buissons sous le sol. ciel du mois d'août. Les amoureux glissent pas de loup. Comme les oiseaux, ils ont rendez-vous. On entend partout. Ouhou, zoubi zoubi zou. Zoubi zoubi zou. Zoubi zoubi zou. Zoubi zoubi zou.
I'm really happy that you made that be the musical choice of today. Because that is absolutely one of my favorite songs.
All
me
time
and favorite. All the girls listen to that obsessively at Snapdragon while we're working.
Every morning. It just gets me in the mood to chop things up. And
it's so happy you can't be mad when that song is on.
You can't. No. I had to listen to it a lot after I got rubbed because I was I listened to it endlessly.
I could listen to it on a full loop constantly. I haven't even heard any of her other music. Have you?
No, never.
Maybe we should throw down tomorrow.
I know. Let's get it going.
All right.
In the kitchen tomorrow morning.
So where's your next story?
So then we headed to, down to Lemur, France, where actually, funny story, there actually ended up being a blizzard in April when we were there, and we were supposed to stay at a friend, Pascal Pie's house in Lemur, France. And it's about
Pascal, the painter from Vashon.
It's about 45 minutes south of Grenoble. And so it's right sort of at the base of the French Alps. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's a tiny, tiny town. Oh. And so we took the train from Paris to Grenoble. And then as we're taking the bus into Lemur, it's just really coming down, and we're like, all right, this is gonna work, this will be good. And I have a key in my pocket, in my hand.
Was anybody at the house?
No one was at the house. It was empty house. And so we get there, and the bus drops you off sort of in the center of town, and the house is like probably a 7-minute walk. So we're walking, and it's snowing, we're freezing already. So we get to the door, and I put the key in, and it doesn't turn.
Oh, I'm like, no, why?
Oh, no. I still to this day, I think the lock was frozen shut, but I went back 3 different times to try to open it, and it
didn't
work. Did
Ruby try it too?
Oh, yeah. We were taking out lighters and heating the key up and trying to stick it in, and finally we got so cold that we were like, we need to find somewhere to sleep tonight. Like, there's no way we can sleep outside
right
when it's a blizzard. And so we walked, we couldn't find a hotel anywhere. There was like no hotels in this little village. And so we find a bar finally, and we ask the bartender where we could sleep. And he goes, oh, I have a room upstairs.
Yeah, there's often rooms up above.
Yeah, if you pay me like 50 euro in cash, something like that. We're like, great, we'll take it. Anything, absolutely
no
anything.
No doubt.
And so we get up there for the night. We go get dinner, and then we try the key again. We wake
did
up.
Did she
the
have
next
neighbors?
Morning. Yes, he did. They were all inside because of the blizzard. But we did run into one of them, and
did you ask them to help you?
He was very helpful. He didn't get it open, but he like was very kind and helpful.
But did he offer you a bedroom?
No. He said that. His house was full, but
oh, what a bummer!
I know.
So, did Pascal know why?
No, I mean he hasn't been to that house himself in like probably years at this point, since before the pandemic, and so that house had been vacant. Who even knows if it was even openable, even in the warmth? So,
got it.
It was definitely. Yeah, that was one of those moments where I was like, wow, I'm really grateful to have a friend with me right now.
Yeah, that could be a real panic situation.
Yeah, in this together. But the next morning we get up and we're like, you know what? We're going to Italy. It's time to get out of France. Too many things have happened. We must go to Italy.
But that didn't color your view of France.
No, not at all. I mean, even the moments that were difficult, I feel like now are my favorite stories to tell. And that's always how it is. And it's always like, it's difficult in the moment, and then you grow from it and you learn from it. Like, mm-hmm. Now I'm never leaving my phone in my pocket ever. Now I'm just, you know, I'm gonna, if it's a blizzard, maybe I go somewhere else. You know? I've learned some things.
Sound advice.
Yeah, so then we arrived in Milan, and we were in Italy for about a month total. We stayed with a good friends of both of ours, mm-hmm. Chris Bade and Sophia.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was lovely to see them as well. Sophia works at a youth hostel in Milan called Combo Milano, and we stayed there, which was just beautiful. There's some lady doing tattoos on the kitchen table.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like daily or yeah. just by chance?
No, she was there the whole week, but she was tattooing the whole week that we were there.
Oh, that's so cool.
I know. It was awesome.
But you didn't get one.
No. I mean, I already have a tattoo, and I think maybe I should wait.
Wait till you're a little older.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, so then we were in Milan.
Yeah, what did you do when you were there?
Oh my God, we had so much meat and cheese, and just it was all about the food in Milan for me. But I was in this grocery store one day getting picnic materials like cheese and what have you. And this boy stopped me because I was wearing I wear a chai necklace on my neck, which is the Hebrew symbol for peace. Mm-hmm. It also means 18, but I think of it as peace more as it relates to me. And he stopped me because he had the same ring. He had a chai on his ring. And he said, "Oh my God, you're the first Jewish person I've met outside of my family." And I was like, "Really?" And he was like, "Yeah."
Was he Italian?
He was. He was Italian. He was from Milan.
Oh, wow.
And he said that he just doesn't know that many Jewish people. And so we ended up going on a picnic together, and we all hung out for that evening, went to this really cool jazz club, and then yeah, but that was so interesting to hear that there's so few of those kinds of connections that you can make with people, and that it's so beautiful that I was able to, just by wearing something,
yeah, show to him.
I
went to the opening of the Jewish Museum at mm-hmm. the Milan train station. Milano Centrale. Yeah. Sophia's grandfather, her great grandfather, had been in a concentration camp during World War II in Milan, and was a painter. And he was the head of the art school there called L'Accademia di Brera, mm-hmm. which is the big art school in Milan. And he painted all these paintings while he was there in this mm-hmm. concentration camp, and they actually let him keep the paintings after he was released, and so it was wow. his work that was the on show for the opening of the museum.
That's beautiful.
It was beautiful. We got a personal show of it.
Is this the same person who did the stained, like a piece of the stained glass that's in the Duomo? Sophia mentioned that one of her
I don't know. It could be.
I think
it probably
that
is.
That sounds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Aldo Carpi.
Yeah. Milano Centrale is also just an interesting place, given its own history, too.
Yeah, it's a beautiful train station.
It really is.
Yeah.
We came in through there. It was just one of my favorite train stations we went to.
Yeah.
So we were traveling.
Insane. It's so big.
Yeah. 100% by train the whole time. So
you should have seen it before they redid it.
When did they redo it?
Oh, gosh, a while ago now, like 10 years. Oh. Probably maybe even longer. You know, time's a funny thing when you're this age.
Well, I'll just have to go back in 10 years.
You probably should go before.
I think maybe we go together next time.
And I was threatening to come and visit you.
I know.
I had a ticket and everything, but
you pulled out. Left me hanging.
No, I'm sorry, but we're going to go in September, so maybe you'll just have to go back.
I think I just might.
And then you left the big city for the beaches.
I did, the beaches of
And she's Kulidi. Still tan.
Just barely. It's really fading now.
She came home, was it two weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, yeah.
And had this European glowing tan. We were all like, I'm going to kill you.
It really was. Everyone I saw for the first week was pretty furious with me.
There's been a cold winter. And it continues.
It's true.
Analeia, I want to thank you so much for coming on. I'm glad that you're home safe and sound. And I can't wait to be a part of planning your next crazy travels.
Thank you so much, Megan.
I love you, girl.
You're coming with me next time.
I will.
Love you, Megan. Thank you.
I love you. Thank you so much. This is Megan Hastings and Cats and Jammer Follies. And that was Analeia Hinden. Vashon, come back next week. And I don't know where we're going to go, but come and visit us.
Dicen la canzon, la nasa Napoli. Certamente, gamminga tutti tort. Sorriente, mergellina, tutti popoli. Gli avranno cantato almeno un milione di volte. Mi speri che se offenderà nessun, se parlo un cicin anche di nul. O mia bella Madonnina, che te brille de lontan, tu t'adora e piscinina, ti te domine de Milan. Sotto a ti se vive la vita, se sta mai cui mai in man. Cantentuc lontan de Napoli se mer, ma per venire in chi a Milan. Adesso che la canzone de Roma magica, de Nina er cupolone er rugantin. Se spatenin del teve roba tragica, esageren me paro un cicinin. Perem che venia minga la mania, te mettes a cantar malano mia. Oh mia bella Madonnina, che te brillet de lontan. Tu t'adora e piscinina, ti te dominet Milan. Se veni senza paura, non ves longarem la man. Tu te monta le paesa, sem d'accord, ma Milan è un gran Milan. Veni senza paura, non ves longarem la man. Ti te monta le paese, ma sem d'accord, ma Milan è un gran Milan. È un gran Milan, è un gran Milan.
Gran Milan.
L'era un gran Milan.